Here's your money briefing for Tuesday, September 29th. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal. Following the stock market this year has not been for the faint of heart. It's up nearly 50% since March, but plenty of sharp ups and downs along the way have kept investors concerned about their savings and their retirement accounts on edge.
We have a three-headed monster. We have an election year. We have a pandemic. And then we have a Fed that is doing things that no Fed has ever done.
So what can we expect on Wall Street in the fourth quarter? James McDonald, CEO of Hercules Investments, joins the show to take a look at what's coming up. That's after the break. Since U.S. stocks bottomed out in March, they've recovered a big chunk of their losses. But looking ahead, there's still plenty that could give pause to anyone who owns stocks. From rising coronavirus infections to battles in Washington over more stimulus and a heated election. For a look at the risks that investors face in the upcoming fourth quarter, I'm joined by Hercules Investments CEO James McDonald. James, thanks for being here. So to start off, you know, markets have been trending upward, but instability has been a mainstay on Wall Street. Do you expect more of the same?
True volatility will return imminently. We are expecting a big spike in volatility as seen in February and March when the virus first hit. We saw a glimpse of that volatility again on June 11th when we had a minor pullback in the markets. And then here just in the beginning of September, we've seen the market correct in all three major indexes, the Dow, the S&P 500, and the NASDAQ. And we got a really quick spike in volatility, but it's come back down. Volatility as a true asset class is underpriced here, and that's where we like to invest. Now, will the stock market provide fits and starts and surprises? Yes, but we think there's going to be a general downward trend starting probably late this week, heading into the election, and then we will see a true spike in volatility.
Now, if investors want to put money into the market, what should their level of caution be?
The caution level should be high, and this is a tricky time for us. We've seen this before. I've been doing this for almost 30 years. There are companies like Microsoft and Amazon and Google that are monsters in their space. But these companies, too, had to trade during severe economic conditions. And so if we go back to the 2001 dot-com crash, was Microsoft a great company? Absolutely. Was it a great long-term buy? Absolutely. But if you bought Microsoft just before that crash, you would have seen a big drop in the value of those shares. We're in that same position today where we see a new generation of incredible, incredible businesses that over the long term will dominate. But at this very moment, when we're at the potential beginning of a major market sell-off, we have to be very incremental and cautious as we enter these positions. We like cloud computing. We like artificial intelligence. We like e-commerce still. And these spaces are going to continue to expand, and they've actually been accelerated because of the pandemic.
You know, James, the Federal Reserve has been aggressive in lowering rates and trying to stabilize the economy. But do you see more ways the Fed can affect the markets?
Chairman Powell said there will be 36 months at least of no interest rate changes. And so that's one side of it, the monetary policy, the other side of it, the liquidity injections. I think the virus concept, if we get a vaccine, the Fed will be able to see light at the end of the tunnel. The Fed will be able to say, okay, this is going to go away. And so we're going to start pulling back on, I'll just call it intervention in any form. And so we think that there will be a spike in volatility. If there is a vaccine, we think there will be a spike in volatility. If there's not a vaccine, because if there's not a vaccine, then we continue to see these shutdowns. And, you know, the Fed isn't going to go and provide every waitress and every used car dealer and every mall employee with a paycheck forever, right? This is going to have to stop. And so we think that volatility is going to come up. As to the election itself, this will be one of the most hotly contested elections, not because the public doesn't know who it wants, but because the White House has already come on the record and said they're going to contest it. And we know we have a very litigious commander-in-chief and a very, I'll say, sensitive public right now. If we look at the social movements that have happened this year, maybe they're not unprecedented, but they're certainly more severe than what we saw in the 68 riots or any other time where we've been in an upheaval socially. And we're very interested in seeing how the political scenario looks based on how the social construct of people navigating through these initiatives where it is social justice or whether it's quality, or whether it's diversity on Wall Street or diversity in industry for that matter, we're really paying attention to the social issues as a clue as to how the election will happen. And as far as the election outcome itself, because the Democrats have a history of raising taxes, that perception may cause rotation out of tech, where most of the profits are, which would cause some pressure on the markets as well. And so we have to take the polling of Biden versus Trump with a grain of salt. You know, most had Mrs. Clinton winning in the last election. And, you know, we can't really listen to polls, but we can keep our fingers on the pulse of society. And I believe that, you know, as most political revolutions happen, it's based on, you know, the sentiment of the people. And we want to watch these topics very carefully and be incrementally increasing our exposure to volatility along the way.
And the markets are very tuned into any talks in Washington regarding additional stimulus payments.
You know, there is little to study to get a grasp on what's possible here. We have a three-headed monster. We have an election year. We have a pandemic. And then, as you pointed out, we have a Fed that is doing things that no Fed has ever done. And so we want to study each factor in and of itself, but then look at where there's overlap. If we get a congressional agreement on how much money to inject into the economy, the Fed will then look at what that money does, right? We have data that's going to come out over the next 3 months. Are we going to see any improvement in employment? Are we going to see improvement in consumer spending? Are we going to see stability in any metric? If we get more money in paychecks, if we get more relief for businesses, let's see if that has an effect. And if it has an effect, then perhaps we'll get some different guidance from the Fed. What I would be looking for, I've never heard or read in any minutes a statement that for the next 3 years, we're not doing anything with interest rates. That was incredible to read as a student of the Fed. I think if they walk back that comment, if we see some progress or if we see a vaccine come out, if they walk back that progress, I think that could really trigger some volatility in the market, and more specifically than volatility, some selling in the market. But we've just got to see what happens. We need a deal in Congress. We need to see improving data. And then we need to get some grasp of how we're going to cope with this social distancing, how we're going to cope with work from home, how are we going to cope with kids not at school. And as far as equity prices are concerned, though, we're very overvalued and we're positioning ourselves for a big sell-off.
All right. So those are domestic issues that could result in potential declines in the market. James, what international forces are likely to impact our markets in the fourth quarter?
With the lens of an investment manager, I'm very interested in sovereign debt. Russia, South Africa, Brazil. These are big, hugely important economies. Everybody talks about China, but China's going to be okay. You know, China can do whatever it wants economically. Some of these weaker economic but big important industrial nations like South Africa, Brazil, and Russia, you know, their credit is shot to hell. And we want to see how these governments are going to budget and get through this crisis. We're looking at the debt of these economies to see how the fiscal management will navigate that process. If we see further deterioration of the credit of these countries, we're going to see government shutdowns. We're going to see layoffs. We're going to see factories closing. We're going to see industries that depend on these governments suffering. And that's going to have, not no pun intended, but that's going to infect the rest of the overall global economy if these nations suffer. And so how will that affect our market? You know, we're part of a global community. It's all interconnected. If there is further substantial, serious recession in Russia, in Brazil, in South Africa, we're going to see that in other nations. And Germany had a very weak industrial output number a couple months ago, fewer car sales. We can see a global recession coming if we look at how these credits are managed in the next few months.
All right, that's James McDonald, CEO of Hercules Investments. James, thanks for coming on the show.
Been a pleasure. Thank you so much.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal.